I was asking some young ladies in the back of the church this morning, why do people sit in the back of the church?
Because
they're scared of you. Scared of me. Well, I can tell you, I sit in the back of the church at home in Indian Falls. And the reason I do it, it's I know that the last will be first. That's not the real reason, but. Anyways, good morning. My name is Rodney Stringham. My wife and Debbie, unfortunately, couldn't join me this morning. Her sister had knee surgery Friday morning, replaced the knee, and she's been home taking care of her. So usually she would be here with me. But we live in Indian Falls, New York, and does anybody know where that is? Nice small town. I'm sorry, what? Oh, yep. You got a history buff here. All right. And we have been blessed with a wonderful family. We raised three boys. We have three beautiful Dills, D-I-L-S. My one granddaughter calls me Phil, F-I-L. So now I've incorporated that thought, and I have three beautiful daughter-in-laws. We have 10 loving grandchildren. Our youngest is 5 months all the way to 11 years old. God has blessed us. And I'm a lay speaker with the United Methodist Church, and I'm honored to be sharing with you the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning. Expectations. People talk about the feeding of the 5,000 a lot. We've heard that message many, many times, that sermon, that scripture reading. But I pulled out that one verse, 15, I think it is, about where the people were willing to take Jesus and make him king after they witnessed many healings and feeding of the 5,000 people. Expectations. Our last family vacation with all three of our boys before the weddings would start expanding our family occurred in the year 2000. We decided to travel north up to Bar Harbor in Maine. Our 700-mile trip included a ride from western New York, pretty close to Boston, before heading north to Maine. Our boys were all licensed to drive. And that probably was the most difficult part for me on that trip. I really wanted to sit in the back of the Grand Caravan with my eyes closed and praying as they took turns driving on the expressways. For me, though, seriously, that was one of the scariest times as a parent, giving them keys to the car. Anyways, it was a long, warm day of traveling as we all anticipated some fresh lobster for dinner. We arrived near our hotel, somewhat hot and tired in the early evening, and searched out a lobster shack for our dinner treat. Without going into too much detail, it was not that sweet lobster tail I recall eating on our honeymoon some 23 years earlier before this trip. It was a whole lobster sitting on my plate, covered in corn on the cob and potatoes, all cooked in the same pot with a faint smell of seaweed. I think we all left with a bit of stomachache that evening. It was not what we expected. In hindsight, though, we think we probably should have waited a day or two before attempting a feast at a lobster shack. Have any of you enjoyed that experience, a lobster shack? My expectations were formed from the few times that I have eaten lobster, that little white tail dipped in butter alongside that juicy steak. So we can all probably think of times where we either went to see a movie, we went on a vacation, or even went to a restaurant with some expectations in our mind. Sometimes those expectations were met, and other times, not. This morning we are going to think about three definitions found in the dictionary as follows. Expectations are the beliefs about the future. Expectations are the anticipations with confidence of fulfillment. And finally, expectations are the feeling that something is about to happen. These expectations are part of our everyday lives and are formed from observations and our life experiences. From the time we get up in the morning to when we go to bed at night, and even in our dreams, expectations are being formed all around us. Could be as simple as the weather. I am already expecting that the groundhog will see his shadow next winter and tell us that there will be an early spring. We enjoy gardening. Sometimes our expectations are realistic, sometimes they are not. I think the weather forecast for no rain today is realistic as I walked in this morning, sun shining, low humidity. But maybe thinking that the Buffalo Bills are going to win the Super Bowl this coming season with this new quarterback is not very realistic, even though we may expect something more to shout about this year. I am sure we can all think of some expectations we have that include our own circumstances, our own experiences, the ups and downs of our busy lives. So getting back to our gospel reading this morning in verse 15, when Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. The crowd here had some expectations. They were more than ready to crown Jesus as king. And why? The people were ready for a king who could and would set them free from their Roman rule. Life was not easy for them in the Roman Empire, even though the Romans had allowed them to worship their God. For the most part, though, the people believed that they were powerless under the Roman law. But after witnessing the power Jesus had to heal many people, to multiply a few loaves of bread to feed thousands, gave them some physical hope. They believed that if he was their leader, nothing and nobody could possibly allow anything harmful to ever occur again, and therefore were immediately determined to name him king. This would allow them to come out from under Herod in the Romans' reign and live a life full of goodness. Unfortunately for them, Jesus could see those thoughts in their hearts and quickly headed to the hills before their plans to take him by force became action. So why would the crowd jump to this conclusion, to make him king? The people knew the scriptures. They knew that they had been waiting for the prophet who Moses had prophesied. From Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, we read, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet." The crowd had seen Jesus performing healing miracles in addition to feeding the 5,000 men. These people have waited many, many years to finally see their king, the one who would set them free in this world. Well, we all know the story of Moses, some 1,500 years before these New Testament times. A long, long time ago, the Hebrew people, God's chosen people, were under Egyptian rule, basically Hebrew slaves building the Pharaoh's empire. The Pharaoh catches wind of a Hebrew king who will come and free the Hebrew people from their bondage. So the Pharaoh calls for the killing of all male Hebrew children to eliminate this rumor. After hearing this news, Moses' mother is able to place Moses in a waterproof basket, packed it with blankets for comfort, and set the basket into the Nile River. She asked God to guide and protect him. Pharaoh's daughter went to bathe in the Nile River and found baby Moses, where he was raised as the brother of the heir to the throne of Egypt. He was also brought up to love and obey the Lord, always by his Hebrew caretakers. So when Moses grew older, he saw a guard beating a Hebrew and in his anger killed the guard. When Pharaoh found out about this, Moses went to live in the wilderness where he lived for 40 years with his wife and children. One day on his way home, he saw the famous burning bush. The Lord told Moses that it was time for him to set his people free. And of course, he refused for a while, then he finally agreed. He went to the Pharaoh and told him that he has come to set his people free, but Pharaoh didn't let them free. After a series of plagues from God, the Pharaoh agrees to let the Hebrews go. Thus, the Ten Commandments are given the people through Moses. They go astray with worship of that golden calf, but through it all, God provided manna from heaven for them to eat. The people were fed. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness until they finally reach what will be their home, the Promised Land. So in our reading this morning, why would the crowd jump to this conclusion to make Jesus king? The people had been waiting for the prophet who Moses had prophesied. The crowd had seen Jesus performing miracles in addition to feeding the 5,000. This must be the prophet that Moses told us about. They were more than willing to accept Jesus as that prophet and to make him king. William Barclay, a theologian, mentions in one of his commentaries, but it was not so very long before another crowd was yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." What makes that difference? They all were more than willing to stand behind Jesus when they were getting what they wanted. They had witnessed healing and were even given physically food. What more would anyone want from a prophet? They wanted to use Jesus for their own purpose. Their circumstances living under the wing of the Roman Empire would lead them to seek out the prophet that Moses had promised. This, of course, would not happen as Jesus traveled into the hills to be alone with his God. So, as mentioned earlier, the first definition of expectations are the beliefs about the future. What did God promise Moses? We all know this story. Promises of freedom from bondage and promises of a land filled with milk and honey. For a people that had lived under the Egyptians' rule for many, many years, these promises had to sound very good. Once they bought into the promise and believed, their expectations grew around that promise. God did fulfill his promise, and yes, the people left Egypt to find the promised land with high expectations. But what happens when that belief about the future is not seen because of some change in the plan? Our lives are full of both obstacles and opportunities. God's people begin to lose their hope as they were wandering, expecting to find the promised land. We all know of the struggles Moses and God's people went through and how they eventually did find the promised land. When God makes a promise, we must expect it to be fulfilled. But, there's that but word again, in his time, not ours. Too often, though, we put our expectations ahead of God's promise, and this is where we usually get in trouble. In the story of Moses, we find many unexpected events that appear to take them away from God's plan, but in the end, after 40 years of wandering, complaining, and revolting, they did find the promised land. Expectations of the future were met. The second definition, expectations are the anticipations with confidence of fulfillment. There are too many stories in the Bible that cover this point to talk about this morning. To name a couple, there is a story about a sister who believed that Jesus could heal her dying brother, even though in her mind it may have been too late. We also read about a woman who believed if she could simply touch the robe of Jesus, she would be healed of a medical issue she had lived with for many, many years. The doctors of her time were unable to relieve her suffering. We read in Mark 5, verse 26, she had endured much under many doctors and had spent all that she had, and she was no better but rather grew worse. Some of us have been there, dealing with a prolonged illness or a stubborn medical condition. It's frustrating, even embarrassing, to keep going to the doctor only to return home with an expensive prescription, yet little hope. She believed she could be well again, even with all of the negative results she had to date. Upon finding Jesus, she quietly came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. According to the law, her touch would have made him unclean. She was immediately healed by her faith alone. Not a word was spoken, not even a look from Jesus. She was made whole simply by believing he could heal her and acting on that belief. As followers of Jesus, we have high expectations with confidence, even though we may waver a little from time to time. The fact of the matter is that when God makes a promise, you can have all the confidence in the world that it will happen. The biggest mistake we sometimes make is in the timing or creating that confidence in ourselves. I am a retired mechanical engineer. Back in 2005, all three of our boys were off to college, and one morning when I arrived at work, there was a voicemail on my work phone. It was from my boss, and it said to report to a meeting at corporate that morning. To make a long story short, I lost my job of 25 years that day. No warning, not even a clue. I had survived the ups and downs of that company over the last 25 years, filed a few patents, earned an award, Inventor of the Year in Western New York, nominated once for Visionary of the Year, always willing to work those extra hours, had a great track record. I expected to work there until I decided to retire. Well, my expectations were wrong. With the help of my wife, family, and friends, we made it through that time in my life and found myself employed 3 months later. We then created new expectations, expectations that were not based on me alone in this world, expectations that included knowing who was watching out for me, who was healing me both physically and spiritually, even feeding me. Jesus's plan for me is my expectations today. So in closing, expectations are the feelings that something is going to happen. All we need to do is to understand and believe that God has his hand in everything. Build our expectations on him. Our scripture reading this morning from the Gospel of John shows us that with Jesus, something good is always going to happen, no matter how grim it may appear to be. Think of the times in our own lives when our plans and expectations blind us from what God wants us to hear or see. Or how many times in our lives do we miss the signal, misinterpret the sign, miss the point altogether? On Easter morning, Mary, faithfully as a friend of Jesus, went to the grave, even though she had heard directly from Jesus that he would rise from the dead. Mary traveled to the tomb anyways, expecting a dead body to anoint. She went to the tomb by following the law, not on the Sabbath, but the day after, and so carefully in fear of being mugged. It was a very dangerous time in the city to be roaming around the city, let alone as a single woman and in the darkness. How often do we go looking for something with a certain expectation and find something we did not expect? Mary went to the tomb expecting to find the body of Jesus, but what she found was so much better. Jesus was risen, and now we all have that promise of eternal life. So often our expectations aren't met, but we can rest assured that his plans for us far exceed our expectations. This gospel lesson leaves us with thoughts of a growing faith. through the times when our own expectations missed the target, when others appear not to live up to our expectations, and even when all of our expectations ring true. Having faith in Jesus and throughout your life, remember to keep pressing on, looking and searching for Jesus. Even though our circumstances sometimes change and our expectations are not always met, remember that God is the shepherd watching over his flock, and he will lead us in the right direction. Amen.